You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Evening, church. Well, as I've already been introduced, my name is Nathan Davies. I have been coming to this church for a long time, my entire life. I won't say how many years that is. And it's an honor to be one of the young adult leaders at this church at the moment. And it's a great honor and privilege, as everyone always says, to be able to get up here and to be able to speak on a Sunday night, to be able to have that opportunity to share with you all what's on my heart in regards to what God is teaching me and challenging me about. This is not just a message for everyone out there, it's a message for me as well, and it's a message that I have learned a lot from in preparing it. And so the title of my message tonight is Rights and Responsibilities. You know, and like I said, there's some encouragement, there's going to be some challenge there, it might not be an easy message to hear. But at heart, I want to start with, go to the end a little bit, start with a bit of the conclusion of what we're going to speak about tonight. Because when we're looking at these topics, as so many others in Christianity, they're all Jesus-focused. It's all about Jesus, our King and our Redeemer, and an encouragement for us to go into a deeper relationship with Him. So you might all be happy to see that when you've got the word rights up there, we're not getting political tonight. You probably had enough of that over the weekend with the election. We're safe from that. We're really talking about, in Christianity, what do these mean? How do they relate to us today? So let's pray to start the evening. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come here and we can just hear your word. And I just pray that the words that I speak might be what you put on my heart, what you've been teaching me about. And as we explore these topics tonight, just open our ears to hear the word, open our hearts to accept it, that we might be ready to walk away into this week, be challenged and be ready to actually action out some of what's coming from it. In your name, amen. So, very briefly, we're going to start. What do we mean when I say the words rights? So, I've got my own little homemade definition of them here. Rights we could describe as sort of entitlements or freedoms, something that you deserve or should be treated in a certain way by a characteristic that you have. And probably the most common example of that are human rights. They're something that we hear about all the time and certainly, you know, in election times as well. And rights are really important because they do have an important part to play in life. They give us a foundation or a common ground to rely on. They help us know how we'll be treated in all situations. They give us confidence in the face of adversity. Rights come from someone in authority that they're dictating this. And this is sort of true of a general statement of them, but I really want to talk tonight about the focus is what does the Bible say about rights? How does the Bible talk to us, ourselves? And so I could have used a different word. I could have said the promises, the gifts, or even the truth of God, because they're all similar. And they're all similar because I think this topic is inherently tied into our relationship with God and who God is. It's such an important part of who we are as Christians. So we're going to start with one of the foundations of Christianity, some of the context. Start from a Christian perspective of who we are as humans. That is that we are sinners in need of a Saviour. That Saviour provided by Jesus on the cross. And this is why Jesus is the centre point and the fulcrum of our faith. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, before and after the cross of Jesus. Exodus 34, 6-7. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. It's a great description of God, isn't it? And what we can mean. And then from Acts 4:12, and this is Peter as he's sort of being brought before the religious leaders and the Pharisees. This is obviously in Acts, so after Jesus' death. And they're asking him, who is this Jesus person you're talking about? And he says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is really the center point and the focal point of Christian life, and certainly about these topics. So this is the background that we must keep in mind as we move forward. And the Bible makes some really, you know, big and grand statements about the nature of God, as it should. We believe in a holy and righteous God. And it also makes some big and grand and important statements about Christians, those of us who proclaim to follow God. So I've got some verses here, and they are just a very small collection. And I'm not going to go into depth in all the verses. I'll go in depth into a couple of them, but I just want to give us a really quick overview of what some of these rights look like. Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. John 1 verse 12, whoever believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And finally, 2 Timothy 1-6. For this reason, I remind you to fan to flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And I hope some of these are an encouragement to you. I certainly hope they are. They're encouragement to me in my life, that God could, we could say we have a holy God and God could say any of these things about me. I think that's absolutely an amazing thing. And the first point I want to make when we look at these verses and when you delve into them is that our Christian rights are not based on our performance, but they are based on who God is. Can I get an amen to that from anyone? Thank you. Can you imagine what the world would be like if our performances predated our rights, if that's how it worked? Imagine that you got, you know, accused of something and you went before the court of law. And so the judge there, you got accused of something you didn't do and it's something pretty serious. And he looks at it and he goes, well, you got a speeding ticket last week, so you're obviously a hardened criminal. Gets out his stamp of guilty and just bangs it straight on there. You'd be in trouble. Or imagine if you're a child and you've got a bad report card you're taking home. I know report cards aren't a physical thing anymore, but imagine you've got a report card and you've failed English or maths, or even worse, you failed both of them. And you take it to your parents and you give it to them and your parents just say, well, that was nice while it lasted. It's a pity. We've got another young brother. I'm sure he'll turn out better than this one. I can say that because my parents couldn't make it tonight, so I'm safe. This isn't how rights work, and it's certainly not how they should work. So why do we apply the same logic to God? Why do we say that I need to prove myself before I can claim any of this? God speaks this to us no matter what. That voice that tells us sometimes that we're not good enough, the promises for someone else, someone who does this Christianity thing better than us, that a mistake that you made yesterday or last week, last year, maybe the mistake you made 5 or 10 years ago, that somehow stops these from applying to you. If you've got a Bible, you can open it up to Ephesians chapter 2 as we dive into this top one. Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 10, and we're skipping through a couple the words in the middle. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. And we start with the context, don't we? We start with sinners in need of a saviour. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Some grand statements. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I absolutely thank God that it is not based on anything I can do or anything I can prove, but it's based on Him. And so I think part of the power of biblical rights and the biblical truth is that no matter how you feel, you can hold fast to them. If it's not based on us, if it's based on God, and God is always the same, then we can hold fast and we can trust them in all situations. If some of these statements make you feel warm and fuzzy and encouraging and they bring you into relationship with God, that's great. That is a great thing. We've all been, you know, had the emotional moments in church and in meetings during worship, and they're good. But that's not the entire point. The entire point is sometimes that we're being dragged into a relationship with God further and further, sometimes in the mundane parts of life, in the day-to-day, when it's not as easy, when you don't always feel it. And you can look at these statements and you can say that none of this says that when you have proven yourself worthy or righteous or good enough, they're still there no matter what. And the purpose, as always, and the purpose of rights is that we would build our relationship with God. We would become more Christ-like. These rights ultimately are a call to the things of God and a call to glorify and reflect Him. If you go back one slide quickly, 1 Peter 2:9, when it says you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has set all these things in us that we may proclaim His excellencies. It's all God-focused. And so, fantastic, great. It's an amazing encouragement. But I said we talk about rights and responsibilities, and so we need to talk about responsibilities. So we'll start with the obvious question. Who likes responsibilities? I didn't even get one hand. That's surprising. I mean, I think that's an easy question to ask, and it's easy because no one likes putting up their hand in church. That's the reason no one raised their hand, I'm sure. It's really easy. I remember when I first moved out of home a few years ago now, and you know, you get your new home and it's all great and it's exciting, and then you go to the fridge and you realize that unless you've gone and bought food, there's no food in the fridge to eat. Or unless you're cooking, then you know, you're just eating 2-minute noodles. And I think that really hit home when I work in the city. And when you go to the city and you come back and it's late and it's been a day in the office and you're just tired, and you realize that, you know, you probably are eating 2-minute noodles if you haven't organized something else by then. And I think that if people are, I don't think we should be scared of this word responsibilities. I think if people really don't like it and hate it, then, like, I'll be honest, adult life must be tough because it's kind of a key part of it. We can't avoid them. Having things to do, outcomes to achieve, needing to work for your keep or contribute to society, having responsibilities is just an experience of life. And it's not an easy thing to say, but it is sort of the reality that we live in. And we often tell new Christians that Christianity isn't a religion of laws and instructions. And I always find that a bit of a strange thing for people to say, because while in one sense it's very true that Christianity is at its heart a relationship with God, in another sense, we're called to be Jesus' disciples. And this comes with responsibilities. And so we don't want to scare people away, but we want to be realistic about the faith that we're calling people into and the faith that we ourselves are called into. And to put it simply, and to put it at its essence, when we talk about our responsibilities as Christians towards God, we are ultimately tasked, we are responsible with glorifying and reflecting a holy God. As was given in the Old Testament, we saw it in Leviticus and the Old Testament laws, and it's quoted again in 1 Peter 1:16. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And I remember reading a quote somewhere, I couldn't find it, that's kind of a really simple summary of much of what the Old Testament is about. It's God teaching the people of Israel what it means to belong to a holy God. And there's plenty of info in the Bible about how to do this, how to work this out. But that's just the essence, the very simple part that I want to get across tonight. This reflecting holiness applies to our relationships with God, the actions in our lives, our relationship with others, and the world around us. And Aaron, who's not here tonight, he spoke a few weeks ago. I'm getting muddled up. A few months ago now, I think it was in March, at another one of our village nights, and he spoke on faith and works. I want to borrow just one simple takeaway that he spoke in that. And he said that a living and real faith in God should be noticeable in how we live life. He gave us that really tough question that said, if you took Sunday out of your life, would someone observing you still know that you're a Christian? And again, there are plenty of Bible verses I could have chosen about this idea of responsibilities. The Bible is full of them, full of what the calling for us to reflect God looks like day to day. And I've just got a few of them up here. Psalm 34, 13 to 14. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And very famous quote, Philippians 4, 8 to 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, think about these things. For what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Ultimately, it really takes faith to trust that God knows best when he gives some of these instructions and when he asks things of us. Being a Christian isn't just a one-time decision. It's not just a choice we make once. It's something we have to live with and take up each and every day. The call to Christian responsibility is a call in response to God. We talked about the context at the start. It's a call in response to the fact that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And responsibility is our choice. Often it's saying no to one thing and yes to another. And I think it's really important that we are aware that we have that choice. We can say yes and no. I love this quote from Stephen Covey, who is a Christian, but this quote is from his book, which was, his book doesn't deal with Christian matters, but it deals with leadership in business and industry especially. And it says, look at the word responsibility, responsibility or responsible, the ability to choose your response. Highly proactive people recognize that responsibility. They do not blame circumstance, conditions, or conditioning for their behavior. In the previous verses, I'd highlighted all these terms, and they're really, I highlighted them because those responsibility verses have an action associated with them so very often, that we are response-able. And I'll give a really quick story about this one. I remember the first time, or one of my most clear memories of doing public speaking, there's a bit of irony about me telling this story in front of 100 and something people, maybe, was I went to Oxley College, and so I was up there in year 12, and we were doing a presentation, right? It was a book presentation. You study a book, and you have to get up there and give a presentation. And so I think it was about 5 minutes was the time limit. And when I got up there, one of my friends happened to be sitting in the middle of the class, so he was given the job of timing the presentation. So the teacher said, if they've taken 5 minutes, you're to knock on the table, get their attention, tell them to get off. And so I got up there, and I was a terrible public speaker. Far, far worse than I am now. And I had my cards and I spoke and I had no idea about the time. And when you're in school, you're trying to make a word count or a time limit. So you keep speaking and speaking and speaking. And so I eventually got off and I thought, oh, I did a good job. And I went to my friend and said, oh, how long did I speak for? And he goes, oh, about 11 minutes. And I said, why didn't you stop me? And he goes, I did. I was knocking and I was waving and I was trying to get your attention and doing everything. And as it turns out, I was completely oblivious. I had no idea that was happening. And so one of my next times speaking in front of a lot of people, Dan and Lauren asked me to speak at a young adults camp a year or two ago. I'd never told you the story. And when I first got asked if I would be interested in doing that, my first response was obviously, no, I can't do public speaking. But the reality is that when I got asked that, I had something put on my heart, and it wasn't there because I had planned to public, to speak it out or tell people. It was there because I felt that I was reading the Bible, I was learning, I felt like God was trying to tell me something, and so I decided that I had to take an action. I was going to start writing some notes. I was going to start writing things down. I was going to start doing some research. And so I realized in that moment that suddenly I was responsible. I could say no to this opportunity, or I could say yes. And both those responses were put in front of me as possibilities. And I think it's important and empowering to understand that so often we have that choice, yes or no. We can choose either way. My final note, it follows on really from those two statements I made earlier, that we need to trust God knows best for us, and that we are able to choose our responses. We're able to respond to Him. And therefore, we are responsible as Christians to listen and to rely on what God says, not what the world says. It is our choice, our decision to respond to God in action. But we do that from the knowledge that God and Jesus is the cornerstone, the one who made a way for us, the one who redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit, is our helper. The reality is we can choose that and we have to outwork it, but it's not all up to us. It's not all our problem to deal with. We can rely on God. So if we're relying on God and not the world, then we have to ask, what does the world say? And so just to make sure everyone is paying attention, I've got some quotes for us. We'll see who is a movie fan. Someone tell me what quote that's from. With great power comes great responsibility. Spider-Man. Correct. That's a picture of Uncle Ben when he's talking to Spider-Man. What about the next one? If you're nothing without this suit, then you shouldn't have it. I see him mumbles. Yeah. Tony Stark. Yeah, Iron Man. Spider-Man gets a lot of instructions is what I'm learning here. And finally, because it's May the 4th, I kind of had to do this one. Here we go. Do or do not, there is no try. Yoda. That one is definitely Yoda. And some of these are good advice. The one about the superhero suit maybe is not as relevant to our lives. But the rest of them, like, they're not bad advice. But they really put all the onus on us as humans. It's your power, you own it, you have to deal with it. You need to work to achieve this. Success or failure rests entirely on your shoulders. And the reality is in Scripture we talk about that Jesus is our cornerstone, Jesus is our foundation. It doesn't entirely rest on us. We can choose to accept the rights and responsibilities, but that God really has a foundation that we can rely on, and it's not entirely my strength that I need to rely on, and I am so glad for that. When earlier we said that it's not based on our performance, it's based on who God is. These statements, they're helpful, they're useful. I'm sure they help Spider-Man become a better Spider-Man, whichever version that is. As Christians, we should see reality as God first, then us. He is the creator, and we are the created. We were created to be dependent on Him, to rely on Him. But saying anything else is just not matching real life. We are in sinners in need of a Savior. And through Jesus, we are redeemed and reconciled with God. And as Dan said earlier, that we're called into relationship with Him. The power is His. We don't need to be perfect because Jesus is perfect and He is forever calling us forward into a greater relationship. We can still respond. We can still accept those responsibilities, but it doesn't all rest on our shoulders. As Christians, we shouldn't be scared of responsibility because we have amazing rights and promises that are given to us. So in getting up and speaking in a message like this, I said before I was a terrible public speaker. I think I you know, I don't know if I am at the moment, but it's still nerve-wracking. It's still terrifying. Absolutely. And I don't get up here for the fun of it. I don't get up here because I get to walk around on stage and it's great fun. But I get up here because I want to share what's on my heart. You know, we're sharing, people who get up on stage at church, they're sharing it because God has made an impact on them. Jesus has changed them and has made us feel blessed, empowered, better versions of ourselves, in accepting our rights and responsibilities. And it's something I still need to do every day. We're choosing to put Jesus first in our lives. And I think we also, I get up here not just because I really don't like the sound of my own voice, but I get up here to try and present an encouragement and a challenge to each of you. And I think that when we hear messages at church, it's always important that we consider, does this apply to me and how do I take it away? How do I move forward with this? So as a final conclusion, I have three questions I want to ask us all tonight. Some of them are encouraging, some of them are challenging. If you're a Christian, do you accept the rights and promises the Bible teaches? For some of you, the answer is yes. For some of you, maybe it's not. Maybe you don't believe it when the Bible says that you are a child of God. The Bible says that. And I hope everyone, if you don't now, learns what that means and learns the freedom that comes with that. Do you accept that being a disciple of Jesus comes with responsibilities, that we are tasked to try and reflect God better tomorrow than we did yesterday? And this one sounds like it's straight from a message Caleb Janssen gave just before Easter. Are you treasuring the things of God as the greatest blessing in your life? That can be a hard thing for us to ask every day. And I'm not going to ask people to put their hands up. That's sort of defeats the purpose of this message. If there's something in there that gets you, something in there that makes you start to wonder about yourself, then you can take that into the week, you can take that into the next month, and you can think and ponder on that and do something about it, because it's up to you, really, if you want to take this forward. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that we can just catch just a small glimpse into your scripture and your truth tonight as we take a look at these topics. And I know that there is a challenge in this message tonight, and there is a call that rests on us as we approach you and as you just love us and offer us the chance to get into closer communion with you. Help us to see ourselves with your eyes. Help us to see ourselves with the love and all the promises and the gifts that you are saying are ours as Christians, those statements. May we be encouraged by just the positivity and how, just as crazy as it sounds, that when we say you are a holy God, that somehow that is reflecting in us, that you let that happen. Maybe we be challenged by the call to pursue Jesus above all else and to keep that relationship at the center of who we want to be. And may in the weeks and the months that come, we prioritize the things of you, if that means saying yes to some things of you and saying no to distractions, you know, activities, things that are taking our time, things that are taking our attention away from you. Lord, we just want to put you forward, put you first in our lives. We are sinners in need of a Savior, Jesus, and that's you this day. In your name, everyone says, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.